This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
You would favor Joe Biden. Explain to me why you came to that conclusion.
I think that we are seeing in the most elemental way the significance and relevance of a fact-based, enlightenment-driven, empathetic presidency of the United States. A fact-based...
We choose truth over facts.
Enlightenment-driven.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Empathetic.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
Presidency of the United States.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I find one of the most galling parts of this is that the president is favoring certain states over the others. To me, this is even more of an impeachable offense than what he did with Ukraine or Russia.
Ugh. Here we go again.
Impeach 45! Impeach 45!
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
The president's out there touting an unproven idea of a possible cure.
He continued to push an unproven drug to an unproven drug. To push an unproven drug, so an unproven drug that might work for malaria, might work for lupus, doesn't work for this.
This drug that the president keeps pushing, a lot of people would say, follow the money. There's got to be some sort of financial tie to someone somewhere that has the president pushing this repeatedly.
So let's make a tinfoil helmet out of foil paper.
Unchained and unstoppable.
We don't know what we don't know. And you would think at this point, Anderson, the president would be humbled somewhat by being wrong so many times.
I don't understand how someone can have so little self-awareness.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. If you want to join us, the toll-free number, as always, is 844-500-4242. Should I wear a mask today? What do you think, Grace? How do I look in the mask?
I mean, I don't think the masks are a bad idea. Some people in my family are wearing them. I think if you have one available or if you can make one, there's nothing wrong with taking extra precautions.
How do you like this one? You think I made it well?
I can't see you, Howie.
You can't see me? Okay.
No, unfortunately.
It's very fashionable.
Marty Walsh had a mask on yesterday, some sort of bandana. A lot of people are actually getting very creative with their masks. I'm very impressed.
You know, McKay, the kid who works for me down here in Florida, he works at Publix. He saw a guy yesterday at his Publix in Lake Worth. He was wearing a mask made out of boxer shorts, his underwear.
Ooh, I hope it was
barbaric.
I hope it was a brief interaction.
I asked him boxers or briefs, and he said boxers. And I got a text last hour from a woman from a texter who said that he saw somebody, a woman, with a bandana on her face, and she was smoking a cigarette through the bandana.
It's like Kramer with the beer in one hand and the cigarette in the other. You got to prioritize, people. So, Howie, it is time for Grace's News. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Monday, as good as it can get right now. It's a beautiful day here in Boston. And, Howie, I'm sure it's gorgeous where you are in Florida. So let's get to it. Or as Chris Cuomo says, let's get after it. I want to start with Joe Biden. He obviously was doing the interviews this weekend. We always have a plethora of an exponential amount of sound cuts on
Monday.
You
notice, Grace, that he always is interviewed. It's an amazing fact, but it's true. He's always interviewed by someone who used to be on one Democrat politician's payroll or another.
Right.
Whether it's Stephanopoulos or Tapper or Todd or Schulte, everybody he's interviewed by is a former or current Democrat operative who now has a press pass.
And the hilarious part is that
and they never ask him about Tara Reid. Some of our viewers are saying, who's Tara Reid? What, are you just tuning in from MSNBC or
it's,
CNN?
It's not Tara Reid. It's not Tara Reid from the Sharknado movies. We should clarify that.
It's Tara Reid, who used to be an aide to him when she got out of law school in the early 1990s. And she claims that he groped her one time, pushed her up against the wall and groped her. And then when she pushed him away, he said, "Come on, man. I heard you liked me."
Really, no one has asked him about that. But I find the more amazing part to be when he's saying something that is so blatantly not true. And I'm gonna play the example in a second. When he's on with George Stephanopoulos and he says, "I think that Trump acted too slowly on the ban from China," how George Stephanopoulos, how some little part of his brain doesn't say, "Maybe I should push back on this and tell him that he called Trump a xenophobe," but they don't. They somehow muzzle themselves so they don't give any hard questions.
Maybe
every journalistic instinct has to be suppressed in this new world of Orange Man Bad. It's really sad, Howie.
Maybe if he'd ever worked a single day as a reporter, I mean, as a real reporter, he would have felt at least some pang of guilt about not asking him the obvious follow-up question. Well, Mr. Vice President, you called him a racist and a xenophobe when he issued the ban on travel from China. And then his flack, Biden's flack, says, well, he only called him a racist and a xenophobe after he started talking about the Chinese virus. You know, the Chinese virus, which was promoted widely by both MSNBC and CNN. But the fact is that Trump didn't start calling it the Chinese virus until weeks after he'd been called a xenophobe and a racist by Biden.
Right. So let's play that cut and let's wait for George Stephanopoulos to prove us wrong, which he won't. This is cut 8.
Call happened, and if it does, what's the most important thing you want to tell him to do right now?
Well, it hadn't happened. I'm happy to talk to him, and I just tell him what we found is important to do when we went through not as bad but a similar crisis, and that is to you have to move swiftly, and we have to move more rapidly. You have to implement the Defense Production Act, empower a supply commander, create a Defense Production Act for banks that get out small business loans, ramp up testing, a whole range of things. You got to go faster than slower, and we started off awfully slow. He indicated that I complimented him on dealing with China. Well, you know, 45 nations had already moved to keep block China's personnel from being able to come to the United States before the president moved. It's about pace. It's about the urgency, and I don't think there's been enough of it.
So let me get this straight, Grace and Mr. Vice President. 45 other countries ordered China not to send people to the United States. Is that that's what he said?
All I heard was rapidly and swiftly and fastly and not slowly. I was kind of caught up in those.
Well, I was wondering about that, too. Mr. Vice President, should we say that we're not moving rapidly enough or we're not moving swiftly enough, in your opinion? But he did say, well, Jared, can you play the end of that just so we can hear it? Because I think he says 45 nations had banned Chinese nationals from coming to the United States. I'm just wondering, if you're a Chinese national, how does, I don't know, Germany or Spain or Mozambique, how do they ban a Chinese national from coming into the U.S.? You got that?
Well, you know, 45 nations had already moved to keep block China's personnel from being able to come to the United States.
At whose behest? And under what authority?
Can we get a Pinocchio check on that, please?
Yeah, where is...
Very effective.
Where is Glenn Kessler when you really need him?
Howie, I actually have some good news out of China, believe it or not. I don't know if you've heard about this, but giant pandas in Hong Kong Zoo finally mate after 9 years.
Well, I guess it's survival of the fittest.
We have a new entry in the Glimmers of Hope in the World category. Please give a hand to Ying Ying and Li Li, two giant pandas at the Ocean Park theme park in Hong Kong. The panda pair successfully hooked up for the first time in 9 years of making attempts. I don't know what is going on with those two. That it took them 9 years?
How old are they, by the way?
Talk about a dry spell. What's going on?
Ling Ling was just being... respectful.
Yeah. It says a female panda. It actually, how he in this article.
Which one is the female and which one's the male?
I'm guessing Lili. That sounds more like the female to me. But
So Ying Ying is the male?
Ying Ying, yes.
You know what Ying Ying said?
What?
Come on, man. I heard you liked me.
I heard you liked me. It's been 9 years. All right, guys. When we get back, I have more news, including more sound. And I have a really funny sound cut, Howie, from Joe Rogan, who tends to lean with Bernie Sanders. But he's just one thing we can say for sure is he is not a fan of Biden. And he kind of rips into him. It's pretty funny. I want to let everybody know that this news segment is brought to you by Boomer Naturals. A lot of people want to try CBD, but they're a little bit nervous about the cannabis element. So what you want to try is CB5. It's all the same extracts, all the same benefits, but there's no cannabis involved. Go to HowieKarcher.com, click on the giant banner. And when you get to their website, use code word Howie at checkout to get some free goodies with your stuff. That's HowieKarcher.com. Click on the giant banner.
I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Paul in North Andover, Mass.
This is Luana in Lexington, Massachusetts.
This is Lauren in Augusta, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Experience the amazing benefits of Super Beats. I had some this morning at my house, and I had some this afternoon in the studio before we went on the air. Experience the amazing benefits of Super Beats for yourself. It'll give you a real lift before the day gets started. Get a free 30-day supply, free shipping, and free nitric oxide strips to test your nitric oxide levels with your first purchase when you visit www.superbeatsradio.com/Howie. That's www.superbeatsradio.com/Howie. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Are you wearing a mask?
Well, right now I am. I'm about to put it on again, but actually, no, Jared, I'm not wearing a mask most of the time. I just put it on for theatrical purposes.
78% of the audience say no, they are not wearing a mask.
How about you, Grace? Are you wearing a mask? You live in the city of Boston where masks are advised somewhat.
I will probably make one tonight. I will craft one up. I don't have one on hand, but my mom made one for a couple of my family members today, so I will try my best at it.
Grace,
tonight.
You're not as well prepared as I am. You don't just happen to have one lying around?
I don't, Howie. I'm not as blessed as you are, unfortunately, but I will work on it. I will make my own luck.
Howie, you look like you're in a hostage video.
This is a stick-up.
Alrighty, so I want to play this cut from Joe Rogan. He's with Eric Weinstein, who I'm not really sure who he is, but they're discussing Joe Biden, and Rogan admits that he'd rather vote for Trump than vote for Joe. This is cut 25.
I want a choice of an actual president that's viable. I don't have one. So right. Then you're going to ask me, well, which of the non-viable people do you like best?
Well, this is the real issue with the Democratic Party. They've essentially made us all morons.
Yeah.
With this Joe Biden thing. They really have. They've
made
us all morons. I can't vote for that guy.
I can't vote for him.
I can't vote for him.
I can't vote for Trump.
I'd rather vote for Trump than him. I don't think he could handle anything. I mean, you're relying entirely on his cabinet. Like, if you want to talk about an individual leader that can communicate, he can't do that. And we don't even know what the f*** he's going to be like after a year in office. The pressure of being the president of the United States
right.
is something that no one has ever prepared for.
Right.
The only one who seems to be fine with it is Trump, oddly enough. I mean, he doesn't seem to be aging at all or in any sort of decline. You know, Obama, like, almost immediately started looking older.
Yeah.
George W. almost immediately started
looking
older.
Well, I think that this is not a change in Trump. Like, Trump in a...
So I agree with Joe Rogan. We don't know what to expect if Joe Biden takes over, but... Trump had something to say about Joe Biden's mental decline, and that brings us to the next portion of my news, which is it's time for Tweetbeat. And for everyone who might be getting annoyed of Tweetbeat, just learn to love it because it's staying. Joe Biden tweeted about President Trump, and one of the reporters, I'm using air quotes here, at the White House asked President Trump about the tweet. And the rest is pure Trump gold. Let's play cut 31.
Joe Biden actually just attacked you in a tweet. I don't know if you have seen it.
He just what?
Attacked you. He just said
Well, he didn't write anything. Look, he has people, he has professionals from the Democrats
Mr. President, let me just read what he said. He said, Donald Trump is not responsible for the coronavirus, but he is responsible for failing to prepare our nation to respond to it. How do you respond to that, sir?
He didn't write that. That was done by a Democrat operative. He doesn't write. He doesn't. He's probably not even watching right now. And if he is, he doesn't understand what he's watching.
Does anybody doubt that? Seriously?
No, but I mean, I just think it's so funny because Trump obviously realizes this, but when you watch the questions they hurl at Trump, if I were Trump, I'd say, by the way, why don't you guys ask Joe Biden anything? Yeah. Ask him any sort of
hard
question.
Two words for you, Tara Reid.
Exactly, Howie. Something else I thought you would find particularly funny was that the John Meacham cut that we have in the introduction where he explains why he's going to vote for Joe Biden. The interviewer, who's some PBS guy, opened up the interview by saying that one of the things he likes about John Meacham is that he never knew what side of the political aisle John is on, and I just got such a kick out of it, and I couldn't fit it into the caption, so I said, I'm going to explain this one to Howie before we play it, because it's just too good. This is cut 21.
And I've never known your political orientation. I've never known whether you felt more of a Republican or a Democrat. And yet, right now, you said you would favor Joe Biden because he has certain character traits. Explain to me why you
That's
came
enough.
To that
That's
conclusion.
Enough. That's enough.
He just could never figure it out. He never could figure out, was he more Republican or Democrat? You know, hard to decide.
You could see why that guy got into journalism. He had such a great keen sense of curiosity.
Right.
You know, he just had to get to the bottom of everything.
Totally.
And he finally did. Yeah, we talked last week that Joe Biden has this. He was in Congress for 36 years, the Senate. And he should know something about the National Defense Act, which Trump has been using to, you know, compel industries to produce certain things. And Joe Biden just can't get the name of this thing straight. What did he call it last week, Grace? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I know he messed it up in recently, which is the cut we have, but I don't remember what.
But this is another one. This is a different one, I think. He called it something new, and this is his latest screw up of the defense product. He called it the National Defense Act, I think, but it's the Defense Production Act is what its real name is. But Joe Biden doesn't know that. Don't feel bad if you didn't know it, because Joe Biden didn't know it either. He got it wrong again. Cut three.
There are a few things he can do. He can immediately and fully implement the Defense Production Act, which I and many others called for a long time ago, and he's just getting underway with it. There's still no Defense Supply Act, Production Act for gloves, masks, all the things first responders need.
Joe Biden is like the person who replies to your email if your name is like Caitlin, and he misspells Caitlin even though it's in the email. It's like, you just said it right. What happened? Oh, Howie, by the way, I wanted to tell you.
And the Defense Production Act, it's for industries that produce something. Do banks produce anything? No, they lend money. Okay, well, I'm sorry, Grace. Go ahead.
No, the quarantine cravings Uber Eats reveals the most popular takeout Massachusetts is burritos.
Not fried clams? I'm shocked.
Have you had enough yet of the volatility of the stock markets, down 1,000 or more points, up the next? Are you tired of watching that little box at the bottom of your TV screen that shows the market plunging hundreds of points or thousands of points? You need to get diversified with Orion Metal Exchange. You shouldn't be caught flat-footed in this roller coaster ride that the stock markets have been on the last couple of weeks. No matter what the reason, the coronavirus or the oil price war abroad between Russia and Saudi Arabia, you always need to be diversified, and that means owning some precious metals, gold and silver and platinum. Listen up. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. If you haven't yet taken advantage of their no-obligation guide, it's still not too late. Give them a call today to learn more about gold and silver and other precious metals. Call Orion today at 1-800-912-2300. That's 1-800-912-2300. Call them right now at 1-800-912-2300.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
You know who's which governor is happiest about this advisory to wear a mask in public? Governor Northam in Virginia. He's got a hood in his closet. 844-500. It's got a tip on it. I've seen pictures of it. You have too, in his yearbook, college. 844-500-4242. Joining us now, as he does every week at this time, is Joe DiGenova, the deep state unraveling of the multiple conspiracies, soft coup attempts to get rid of President Trump continue. And we've got multiple updates this week. Joe DiGenova, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
You bet, Howie.
I guess the first thing we should do is to let people know that the John Durham investigation, he's the U.S. attorney from Connecticut. According to the Wall Street Journal, his investigation is continuing in spite of this semi-shutdown of the federal and the state governments.
Yes, it is. And one of the more interesting revelations, which I have confirmed with my sources, is that John Brennan is, in fact, the focus, the main focus of the investigation. And a number of former intelligence officers have been interviewed and apparently testified about a series of questions involving the production of the famous assessment that was done after the election, which, of course, as
right.
you know, was a phony assessment. It was
right.
a constructed document. It was not, in fact, an assessment of anything. And that is very interesting, because what they're doing is they're looking at what Brennan did and what he asked other people to do in terms of that, and some other things as well. So apparently Mr. Durham has not been deterred by the virus.
Yeah, that was the one where they said 21 agencies signed off on this, and in fact it was four, and they were all the four agencies that were controlled by these corrupt Obama hack officials like Brennan and Comey and Clapper, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
But what crime can they get him for? I've been thinking about this all weekend.
Well, it depends. They are clearly looking at abuse of power. In other words, were the resources of the CIA illegally used to undertake domestic intelligence operations? Were resources of the CIA used to illegally create a plot to either falsely lead FBI officials into a scheme or to conspire with FBI officials to deny certain people their civil rights? Now, while this is happening, remember what just happened with the FISA court. There was that scathing
part two of the segment. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, but what happened there was they showed how bad there was no backup for almost 49 of these FISA warrants. But here's what's really interesting. As a result of that, the FISA chief judge, Judge Boasberg,
demanded to know from the
demanded to know from the FBI the names of all the targets in those 49 warrants. Why
I didn't know that.
Yes,
49 targets.
The names of the targets, and the reason he did was, after looking at the Carter Page warrant, he wants to know if all those 49 people were Republicans, because he's looking, as the chief judge, at misconduct by a large number of FBI agents for one reason only, not only to get the warrants, but to do so for unmasking and then leaking of information about individuals for political purposes. And that is really something. When he asked for the names of the targets, I knew exactly what he was doing.
So you think he's on the level?
I do. when he asks that question, I think he's furious. When they get a warrant, they don't know who the person is. That's right. Part of the privacy.
No, I understand. I get it. Haven't you been wondering the same question? You know, how many of these guys are anchor babies? You know, their parents were from some Muslim countries, and they're just terrorists with a American citizenship. And how many of them are just Republicans? Weren't you wondering the same thing? I think everybody was.
I was. By the way, it's 29 of those warrants that he's asked for the information about. But this is amazing. Because what took him so long? I mean, I would have asked for this information, but you know what? He's a judge, and he's never been a prosecutor. And there's something about being a U.S. attorney, when you have the responsibility to investigate complex cases, that your brain works differently. For example, the Russian hoax. From day one, as soon as they exonerated Hillary Clinton, it was fairly obviously what was going on. That was a fraud, and the Russian thing was a fraud. You didn't have to be a Mensa to figure out that this was a conspiracy to deny civil rights. But this judge has finally figured it out. He said to himself, hey, wait a minute. If all of these warrants are bad, and Carter Page's was so bad, and he's a Republican, maybe these other 29 people are Republicans. I better find out who these people are.
Well, are we going to find out who these people are?
Yes. Oh, yes. I can assure you that even though these individuals have a right to privacy, that their names should never be revealed, I would ask them all to waive it in order to make it clear to the public how they were abused, because they have a right to sue. They're going to be told.
I think this would be a greater badge of civic honor than to be on the Nixon's enemies list.
Oh my God!
Because Nixon just made up a list of people he didn't like. Right? I mean, these people were actually surveilled.
You cannot even begin to realize how serious this has been and what an abject failure the American media has been. They just don't care. They hate Trump so much that they are willing to allow the civil rights of Americans to be completely, completely trampled on. This is so disgusting.
I agree.
I say to my friends in the media, don't you guys care? Don't you understand what you're doing to journalism? And they just don't care.
Yeah. And then we get to the case of Michael Atkinson, the intelligence community inspector general who was fired on Friday night by President Trump, and a long overdue move. And the mainstream media tried to work itself into high dudgeon about it. But the guy is so dirty that not even they really want to go to the mat to protect him. I know they have the coronavirus to try to impeach Trump on, but they didn't even work that hard to defend Michael Atkinson because he's so damn bad. He should have been fired twice over, shouldn't he, Joe? I mean, he was a disaster at two jobs.
One of the most amazing things about this story is when he finally gets this stuff from Eric Ceramella, all of which was planned ahead of time.
This is the so-called whistleblower who wasn't a whistleblower because he had no firsthand knowledge.
Not only that, he was talking about something that isn't covered by the Whistleblower Act. It didn't involve an intelligence matter. The President of the United States is not covered by the Whistleblower Act. But Michael Atkinson decided he was going to do it anyway. But here's what's amazing. When Michael Atkinson reported that to the then acting DNA, McGuire, McGuire took it right away to the Office of Legal Counsel of the Justice Department, and they wrote a scathing, scathing memo, which is public, in which they crucified Atkinson for his corrupt legal analysis. And do you know what Atkinson did within a matter of a few days? He ignored the legal ruling of the Justice Department, which told him he could not take it to the Hill, and he gave it to Adam Schiff on his own.
Who was employing a woman named Mary McCord, who Atkinson used to work for when he was brooming all of these corrupt FISA applications for warrants to spy on Republicans.
Yes, and here's the other thing. You just said it. He was in charge of what's called the accuracy review of a number of these specific FISA applications.
Oh, and George Orwell's laughing somewhere. The accuracy review when they were making stuff up.
And according to Michael Horowitz, who ironically defended him this weekend. In Horowitz's report said that these accuracy reviews were non-existent. He crucifies Horowitz, and then he issues this idiotic statement as the head of the IG Association, saying Michael Atkinson has always been professional. Michael Atkinson is a hack, and I am not certain that some of the things that he has done do not warrant an investigation by the Justice Department for by a federal grand jury. This is a very complicated issue, and his conduct is absolutely despicable.
Yeah, and they brought Atkinson in to both the House and the Senate committees on intelligence. And, of course, the House committee, Devin Nunes, questioned him about how he put this thing together, and it was apparently so damning that is the one deposition that has not been released by Adam Schiff. And then he went before the Senate Intelligence Committee, which is chaired by Richard Byrd, who was himself in a photo finish with a grand jury right about now for his stock dealings in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. And apparently his answers were so obnoxious that Senator Cotton from Arkansas, who's been proven to be right, he's been sort of the Senate version of Nunes on this stuff. He said he wrote a document saying that that Atkinson's responses to their questions about how he set up this Ukrainian hoax were insolent. I've never heard any testimony before Congress is described as insolent. I mean, that's beyond obnoxious or prevaricating. Insolent. He was arrogant, in other words, in his non-responses to these Senate questions.
And that is because he was part of the coup plot. He is one of the people, along with Mary McCord and others inside the FBI and DOJ and the White House, who conspired against Donald Trump and other people in the Trump administration. The notion that he got through White House personnel and was appointed the Inspector General of the intelligence community, the advice that the president got on this was so bad.
Whose mistake was that, by the way?
I blame two groups of people. I blame the people in the Justice Department who should have known better, senior people in the Justice Department under Barr, and I blame the White House Personnel Office, which has been the worst personnel office since Jimmy Carter. Just absolutely pathetic, unbelievable, bad people in that office.
This is like appointing a coup. This guy was a coup plotter. In the first coup,
he was.
And then you put him into a position where he can set up the second coup attempt.
He without him, there is no impeachment. It happens, but it happens in a much longer and different path. He set it up. He is responsible directly. Now, you know, you can go back and blame Rod Rosenstein and all these other sleazeballs for the hoax, because you never knew what the basis of the complaint was going to be. But I must say, this guy Atkinson is just as dirty as they come.
Wow. But all this time, Joe, still no prosecutions. People are saying this. And they also want to know, why did Horowitz do that, put out a statement after you know, nailing him? Days later, he puts out a statement defending this guy, this bomb.
He put out a very brief statement as the head of the inspector generals in the U.S. government. He's like the chairman of this group that, you know, they all belong to.
I prefer to say he's the business agent of the International Brotherhood of Inspectors General.
I would never have issued that statement had I been Michael Horowitz. I think it was an embarrassment. When you look at the total record of which Michael Horowitz cannot be unaware, there is no way you say that about Michael Atkinson, because it is clear he is a politically corrupt individual.
Well, he had to know who was overseeing all these corrupt FISA applications against Republicans.
Of course he did. He knew it when he was working for Mary McCord, and he was the intelligence counsel for overseeing these items for accuracy. I mean, it's just staggering that anybody could say anything good about him in light of what Judge Boasberg has done. And I'll tell you something. I think that Boasberg thing, where he's asked for the targets, is going to prove to be something. I can't imagine, by the way, that John Durham hasn't already asked for that stuff. But the fact that the chief judge has asked for it, I think, is extremely important and gratifying. Finally, but
how soon do we get the names?
Well, that's going to be a process that involves privacy rights, and that's going to be, I'm sure they'll be leaked. But I'll tell you something. Given the state of the court and how angry they appear to be, I'd be very careful about leaks coming out of there. But I think they may very well ask people
if your name was on the list, wouldn't you want it out yesterday?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. So would I.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I would want to know because I would want to sue. Because I would want to be, you'd obviously be in the position that Carter Page was, because Page was spied on improperly. There's no doubt about it. And so the issue of, you know, suing and all that, no matter how complex it is, you want to sue them just to tighten up their rear end.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Joe DeGeneva, thanks for being with us again. That's good information. 29
names.
Thanks, Howie. Thanks. That's Joe DeGeneva, the former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. I'm Howie Carr.
The paper boy with a big microphone. Howie Carr.
This is Lynn in sunny Las Vegas.
This is Dan from the Moonbat capital of Jamaica Plain.
This is Gigi in Leominster, Massachusetts, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
Grace has no idea what she's going to miss this summer. We'll be driving around New England, and she won't be listening to the Mothers of Invention anymore because I got my Raycon earbuds. Moving to Montana soon. Going to be a dental floss tycoon. Hungry freaks, Daddy.
Why do I feel like I will survive this, Howie?
Mr. America, walk on by. The liquor store supreme. I'm Howie Carr.